Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. If you're looking for something real nice to get somebody, this is a nice-ass razor. It's heavy as fuck. It's only one blade in there, so it cuts that shit close and it's super nice, and y'all need to have it. Check out GetBevel.com today. Use code FRIENDZONE to get 20% off your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. Now let's start the show. Oh shit. Oh shit.
Oh shit. And when I come to the club, they be like,
oh shit.
And she ain't got no bra or no tie.
Oh shit.
I don't know, but she thinks she's looking right.
Oh shit.
I said, girl, you should take a left, not right.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to episode 5.
Look, and she just back there looking at us like, you didn't even hold us down. You could have just came in with like a little slow harmony or something. Like,
I mean, your name is Hey Friend Hey. There's nothing more rap lyric friendly than like, you could go off, right. You could have a whole freestyle like, Hey Friend Hey.
I love to just watch what song is going to come out of y'all every week.
But do you remember that? You remember Fergie?
Of course.
What are
she
your thoughts
her
on her?
She had her moment. My thoughts.
Yeah. If you could meet Fergie at any stage of her life, would you meet her at London Bridge? Would you meet her at her glamorous stage? Would you meet her back when she was doing the white girl with Wild Orchid?
Wow. Wild Orchid.
If you answer that question, you the baddest motherfucker on earth, friend. I swear to God.
I wish I could.
I don't know what the hell he just asked
you.
Watch her be able to answer it, friend.
Look, you saw she was like, wow. She was like, I remember watching that shit.
For once in my life, I'm speechless.
That's her answer, though. You get what I'm saying? Like,
but see, it was so funny because she was just sitting up there like, how do y'all remember when we were talking about making
friend
the band
is
before?
So amazing. Like, she can do anything. Like, she just answered the craziest question. And she was so honest.
Wild Orchid, though.
Look, that was their fucking name. Shit, I didn't pick the name. That was a dumbass show, too.
That was when I would like all them songs, but be embarrassed to admit it. I'm so much more comfortable now. Like,
you hide your iPod on the chain.
I can remember.
Turn the screen over.
Yep. Or turn the brightness all the way down.
Yep.
I can remember liking, like, Lose My Breath by Destiny's Child, but not being so afraid to admit it, like, because I don't listen to that shit. You know, that's girl music. I can remember being in the car like,
just like that, having your arms down like,
damn, if I'm just comfortable. Yeah, because it really, because you, but inside you was breakdancing because it's the jam.
The outside I'd be breakdancing. I'd be breaking it down like Biggie, Shorty, and Pootie Tang. Like, any and everywhere I can get in, I got a dance step. Like,
My spirit is the house party scene in House Party where they have the dance offs. That's so, it just personifies me. If I was like a movie scene, that would be Dustin.
Oh, that's cute. That should be the icebreaker for today.
If
you
scene?
Could be a movie scene.
Look at your ass. Here we go.
Who would you be, Asante? What scene?
Oh my God. Okay, so the first scene off the top of my head that comes to mind is the episode, or not the episode, that's the series. Soul Food, the movie, right? No.
Oh, God. Ooh, the family fuck my husband.
No, because everybody always does that. I was going to say when he seen his
not
mama's
that scene.
When he seen Big Mama's leg was gone. That's the scene.
What?
That's how life is, man.
What?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's the question. That's how
you're so
today.
Deep. That's you are so deep. Oh my God.
But you know what?
Why am I laughing?
Look, And I'm glad that y'all are laughing, because when you when I watched it and I was younger, it wasn't so deep to me. It was more of like, what's
you
going
was innocent.
On?
You was innocent. Yes. You did bless your heart.
Yep.
You
I
was
wasn't
innocent.
Ready.
No troubles.
I wasn't ready.
No troubles.
I had not a care in the world.
Care fucking free. And now look at us.
Now look.
Rolled like dice.
That's how life is.
Just rolled you like some dice. Sometimes it's a crap.
Have we even said hello? We just are going.
Yeah,
we
hey,
said
beautiful it. Ones.
Hello. We said hello in our own way.
Welcome back to a new week of the Friend Zone.
Yes.
Friend don't know what to do with us this week.
I don't.
I want y'all to see. I wish y'all could see how visibly.
But you
like,
see how she handling it though.
Yeah,
I'm telling you that it's only one friend.
I'm like water. Just
yes,
go
are.
With it and watch y'all.
So what are we like?
You know what? I just think that this
if
is
you
a,
could be. Oh, you didn't answer the question.
Oh, friend, you didn't. If you,
you
could
already
be a
know
scene,
a scene.
Which one?
Love Jones.
I knew it was gonna
right?
be Jones.
Oh hell
see?
Yeah, friend.
Right. I'm trying to think what would be the because it could be the poem. That's, I don't know. It might be the one where he's like, because I love you. And that's urgent. Like
that's it, though, friend. For real. That's it. That's
that,
it.
You know, I love that cheese yep. ball moment. Okay, that
when
was my
when you said
moment.
The word love, I thought you were going to say love and basketball.
Oh.
The this woman's work scene.
No. Speaking of this woman's work.
Yes.
Did you hear Sanaa's song with Dej Loaf?
No. You know
what?
Why? Because I love
who?
Both. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who?
You heard her right. Sanaa Lathan got a song.
You know, I just seen her. I just Instagrammed that photo of her. She was just leaving the studio. Is that what you
probably.
Were telling me?
Probably.
Yo.
Dropping
no.
some beats. She was.
Roger Bob. Because
she has the new movie out. So
yeah,
I
the
guess
guy.
She felt like it'd be really dope to drop a single, too.
I couldn't do it. I didn't. I love both of them. I don't even call her Sanaa. I call her Sanaa because it's just a little more black and
I was
going to
ask you about that.
But I love Dej Loaf and I don't want to be let down. So I would rather risk never knowing the pleasures of hearing
what?
The song
I
than to hear
it
and just
hold
be
on,
let
I'm sorry.
Down.
I feel like I missed something.
Asante's still
so
like, wait.
No, it really happened, dog.
So Sanaa is singing,
Sanaa.
I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's a song. It's a record with Dej Loaf.
And
with Dej Loaf.
Okay, I don't.
The eye fucking couple, man.
I'm for real confused as fuck. I'm sitting there scratching my head and shit.
It's like about I only heard the beginning.
How do you feel about it, friend?
It's about like her not liking emotional boys.
So she has a song Sanaa? With Dej Loaf.
Yeah, like it literally starts off that way. Cut it out. It starts off like something like I don't like emotional boys. I don't know. I didn't really.
I'm
catch
sorry.
The whole thing, but
I just don't want to be disappointed.
I just wondered if you heard it.
Especially after that shit Tisha Campbell just pulled with
Still Here.
Like, I'm not.
Wait,
and
what?
Yes.
Tisha
and I love
Campbell.
Tisha Campbell. Tisha Campbell can sing her ass off. And she's
from
Tisha Campbell. Yes.
Yeah.
She has a single?
Yes.
What?
Yep.
Yes.
Like, right now, like today.
Yep.
Yes.
Still
iTunes
Here.
iTunes like a motherfucker. Available.
Is
yes.
it? Okay. Your thoughts?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
No, that's not why we.
What you doing? What you
give me that.
Tisha, what you doing? What you doing? What
but
you doing?
Know what? Let's admire that everyone is
chasing their
putting
dreams.
Themselves out there and chasing their dreams, guys.
And they running. Mm. They are running. They running
okay.
this week.
Yeah,
stampede.
I don't know
Counts
what's happening this week.
The tomato. What's that bull run they do over there?
He said the tomato.
Look, whatever that is.
Look,
that's
the color run.
I'm the color.
Okay,
future. Okay, so, but yeah, damn. Oh, so can I add a scene? Because I have another one.
Yes.
I have another one. I have a lot of them.
So,
too.
If my life or if the essence of me was a movie scene, I would definitely say Harlem Nights, the fight scene between Vera and Quick.
Why are these your
when she, you know, now I got to cut you. And the whole argument, you shot me in my pinky toe, it was comedic genius. It felt warm. It felt familiar. It's me.
For those of you listening, I actually think it might be fun if you guys tweeted us what your
yes.
scenes would be, right? That you think represent your personality to a T.
Yep.
That
I
could
think
be
that's
like
be
a yeah, that could be the icebreaker of the week for all of us. I'm curious to see because I know y'all are gonna be sending us some funny gifts.
And no porn links spamming our accounts. No porn.
Or mixtapes.
No mixtapes, no porn.
Right.
No GoFundMe.
Ooh, but if y'all want to GoFundMe or just PayPal me, shit.
Share builder.
So what are we getting into today, guys?
Well,
bed eventually.
Trouble.
Aside from that.
Trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Situations.
Aside from Dustin's chakra alignments.
Oh, yeah.
His vibration.
Early morning chakra alignments.
Ooh. Just the word alignment.
You know what? I've just decided that
he just kicked up his feet, y'all.
Look,
see that? He's like, woo.
Yep. Oh, man. And that was no easy feat because I'm wearing feet.
Oh, because
I'm wearing fry
God.
Boots, and fry boots are really heavy.
They're so cute, too.
Thank you, friend. I like your shoes, too.
Thank you.
So anyway, you guys, we obviously just wanted to have a little bit of fun this week. We are frustrated with the woes of the world and the weight of the world and the weight, W-A-I-T, because in New York City, you're always waiting on something, goddamn it. You always got to wait on something. So we're just, we just are sick of the weight and the woes of the world, and we just wanted to have a little bit of fun, so we're going to continue that for just a couple more minutes. Because I want to talk about TV. Don't you want to talk about TV for a minute? Let's just do a little pop culture, like just bullshit this week.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, so can I talk about how I'm never watching Hollywood Divas ever again?
Yeah, I saw
so
it.
So did you
too.
You watch the reunion?
Damn, did mine eyes.
Okay, so I know you.
What's Hollywood Divas?
Exactly, I was just about to say, I know I got to
No,
know,
like legit. Which show is that? I don't
so
even know.
So it comes on TV1.
It comes on TV1.
Candy's husband is a producer, and there's this other dude, Carlos King, who also who's hosted the reunion. Anyway, Paula J. Parker's on there.
Okay.
Countess
I know.
Vaughn.
Yeah, you just have to give me a character, and I know which one. Yep.
So I'm about a lot of trash and about a lot of bullshit, but I was so turned off watching Paula J. Parker go back and forth with Golden Brooks and her nasty ass husband, them just being on stage like acting like they were these bigger entities than they are. Like
my best friend always, he has a quote that he literally dies laughing from that show where I guess she was reading some script she had written, Paula J, and she told she told one of them that her role was like a crackhead, and then she was like, you were in the garbage looking for spoils. I don't know why my best friend found that so funny.
Because
he'll text me talking about you looking for spoils.
It takes one to know one. She's a spoil. And so that's why that was funny to watch her say that. She is trash.
Terrible.
She's a liar. And I'm going to tell you what really pisses me off about the whole situation. They are arguing not because they're really mad at each other or not because they just have to, you know, let this out how they feel, and so they're confrontational. They're doing that shit because they think it's cute. That's why they sit there and everything they say is calculated. They feel like they have to argue and have contention and make it interesting, and that's bullshit. When people argued on reality shows, the reason it was interesting was A, because it was something totally different than you. Everybody would be on TV trying to be their best, so you would never think you would see somebody fist fight. And number two, those were relationships that had been long standing, so it was real beef and real conflict. And so seeing that, like people like Nene and Sheree, for example, who had known each other for years, all that history, and for them being mad at each other and the friction, it was interesting because it was real. This contrived bullshit, Paula J. Parker sitting on that couch saying, don't come for me without a condom because I'll fuck the shit out of you. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
It's so vulgar and disgusting, and she's taking that and interpreting that as like a modified don't come for me unless I sin for you, which she shouldn't even be saying anyway because that's typically gay slang. And so when she says it, it sounds inauthentic. I just am disgusted. Like all of that just
How
gets
many
on
seasons
my
are they in?
This is
going to be
second?
Their third coming
oh, third?
Up. Mm-hmm. That was their second.
Oh, yeah, they just wrapped their second. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
I've
so I'm not
going to
do
it.
Another
But
season.
I love Countess Vaughn, though.
Yeah, Countess is coming a long way. I'm glad she's getting her
Didn't she just lose
back.
Like hella weight?
No.
Oh.
But she, I love Countess Vaughn.
Okay.
She didn't.
Shut me down.
No, friend, not you. Not you. It's
no,
her.
I saw
it's
the
more towards
and
her,
after.
You know? Did you see the after?
Oh, my God. One. I thought that she looked different. Like, mm-hmm. she looked like they were. And then she said on the show that she started taking her thyroid medication and stuff. So I think she had a lot of other things going on with her.
Like waist trainers. and body shapers and shit. You know, the contouring thing like that. And you could tell because her curves were like so disproportionate, right?
Oh my God.
You could tell that it was pressure. You could tell. And I love Countess Vaughn. I'm just stating the fact.
Like, I loved her.
I love her. I always love her. Yeah, she was under pressure, her inside. Liver's crying. My kidney's dying. Hips is grinding. Ow!
But she sounded a lot better on the reunion, too. I was like, damn, Countess sound like that. She sounds like she's going to put
Fred
out an album.
Is laughing at me.
I don't even know what to say. I'm just sitting here.
Oh, man. Jesus. But yeah, but I love her, though. Ooh. I love Countess Vaughn.
Yeah, Countess is a... She I should do. Have her own show. It shouldn't be like a Hollywood diva style show. It
what
be
the
like,
hell is wrong with Shy Jackson, man? Why would she get on TV looking like that?
It was she made sure she looked good for the reunion, though.
Better.
But what are the Hollywood divas? The actresses? It's like all the actresses that we loved from back in the day.
Yep, all 80%, the UPN girls.
80%, yes. Came back. 20%, like, Lisa Wu Hartwell.
Oh, and Lisa Wu Hartwell.
Which there's something to say for being a real housewife.
Not Hartwell, you know, no more.
Right.
Like just Lisa Wu now. And she done dropped Ed.
I'm always so used to saying Lisa
Football,
Wu
Hartwell. Football, the NFL dropped Ed and then Lisa dropped him right after.
Ooh.
That's what happened.
Okay.
That's what happened. It's Lisa Wu, though. And I'm going to tell you this about her on this show. Like mid-season, a check cleared or something because homegirl had glam. She had a stylist. You could tell, like, the difference was, like, stunning.
For Lisa?
Yeah, remember when think when she moved into that new house, that badass house?
Well, that's
she got
thing.
Some money.
Yeah, she's always had money. I think it was more of, like a transitional thing.
Well, she didn't transition because she looked like a million times
But you know what?
Better.
A lot of that show be looking cheap any fucking way. So I feel like they just be getting hit with some random-ass
They really looked
time.
Broke on that cruise. Remember when they was on that cruise?
Yeah, they looked so regular.
They looked like a bus group that had went to the cruise.
Like they showed up on the church van.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying
you don't,
like, that's
you don't
how
get
they look.
Paid a lot to be on reality shows. That's the craziest part about it, and
yeah,
I always wonder
up.
Why people do it, you know.
Yep.
Some people get
literally
paid like
themselves short
$1,700 a show.
You are David, please.
I'm so serious.
I had to laugh. Are you fucking
I'm
like,
serious.
What?
I've had people where I've asked them like, how much did you, and they'll say they started off. The more popular you get, obviously, you can renegotiate. Right, yeah. Yeah, and then you can start doing club appearances and make your money offline. Well, not offline, but like off the show. But per episode, they can make, you know, anywhere from like $1,000 to $1,500, like depending on who they are in the show.
That ain't
kinda
no
crazy.
Money. Some seasons only be 10 episodes. You done showed your ass and embarrassed your parents.
Well, that's the craziest part to me about it. It's like
for
you doing
$10,000.
I can't even pay my rent for the year
what
with
the
that.
Hell?
Hell. You'd be broke.
Yeah. I don't know. That's tough.
Meanwhile, NeNe and them balling asses getting $1.5 million
okay.
a season and shit.
Very
plus a bonus for the
bitch.
Reunion.
But that's why everybody
Bravo
goes so
them.
Crazy trying mm-hmm. to be the wildest one because they want to get the biggest check.
Hell yeah.
Next season.
It starts to look sad after a while, though.
Who, NeNe?
Yeah.
She looked happy though. NeNe doing it now. She get on my nerves, but you got to give credit where credit is due.
Oh,
she's
absolutely.
Done Broadway.
She's made. Oh, absolutely.
A show coming out with fucking Betty
done,
White.
She's
you know
done a lot
of
that just from being
Betty
loud.
White.
Betty White and NeNe Leakes, they're doing a reboot.
Like a sitcom?
It's a game show kind of. Remember To Tell the Truth from like the 60s?
Mm-hmm.
They're rebooting it. And
wow,
NeNe Leakes and Betty White are the hosts.
That's a dope move.
Like, yeah, like
that's
NeNe
a really
ain't playing.
Cool move.
No, she is
she
not.
She ain't playing. So be on Fashion Police all the time and shit like. And then them cheap ass clothes that look like somebody just took a bed sheet and wrapped it around you, but they selling like hotcakes on HSN. So some of that
so
shit
just
NeNe
talk about
made.
Her clothes like that.
Yeah, NeNe know her clothes
you know,
cheap and fucked up. Some of that shit,
you know what?
It looked
like
somebody had on a fitted
clothes.
Sheet with the feet out.
I don't even think she cared about making clothes. She just wanted to put Sheree up.
She, to just let Sheree have it. She wanted to just let them have it.
Like where's she by Sheree?
Right. Never came out. A fashion show with no fashions.
How dreadful.
Yeah. Baby, they talked about Sheree like a dog, but her ass coming back too.
Yep. You know, you knew she was going to come back, especially since they mentioned on the reunion again. They mentioned her every year, and then
right.
she tweeted that whole, wow, my name mentioned again in the first 8 minutes or whatever.
Right. But don't nobody give a fuck about Sheree. Like,
no, she's just a really
she's
good.
Nothing.
She's, you know, okay. So you know how you have these like fighting games, right? And there's like 30 plus characters. Like
right.
Sheree is just one of the background characters. She's
very,
never like
very
in your
miscellaneous.
Top five, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, all right, we know Sheree is gonna give us a good like episode here and there. Like, remember when her and Marlo were going at
ooh,
it?
Ooh. And Marlo was letting her ass have it. That's why we loved Marlo.
Yep.
Marlo told her, everybody at Neiman Marcus talk about how you return things.
Ooh. Oh, my God. What?
Fred. She talked about, why you mad? Because you married a football player and now you broke, you struggling. And then she was braiding her hair in like a side braid. And she's like, everybody at Neiman Marcus talk about how you return things.
Giving it
these
to them.
Shows.
And you know, that kind of shit will, for someone as vain as Sheree, that kind of shit will hurt her feelings. Like the shit that Marlo was saying, it was hitting home, stinging. And so that it was pissing her off to where she was ready to fight. Fran, visibly.
Fran is looking at us like, this is exactly why I don't own a TV.
Don't it sound exciting? It's a rush.
This is a rush. So evil. Oh my God.
But it's so good. It's like, Fran,
y'all, yes. This is why I just water my plants.
So, Fran, can we have a, okay. Can we give you a challenge this week?
Okay.
Okay, right? Asante, this is going to be
what
good.
What y'all going to make me watch?
I want us to schedule a sleepover.
Mm-hmm.
My house.
Mm-hmm.
We camp out. We gotta like do it. We going to get sleeping bags, even though we really don't.
Oh my
need
God,
them.
Sleeping bags!
Like
we're so
gonna
cute.
Do it, and we're gonna sit up
gonna
all night and be up, and we're going to watch all of the. We're gonna give you a tutorial
TV.
Of all the reality shows so that you have a reference
to
for
make
everything.
It super beneficial. You can even like bring the apple cider vinegar mask or something.
Oh, yeah. So we can.
We can. Yeah, we can be like
can
a
detox,
like a nigga spy day. Like,
yep. Yeah.
Ooh. Like a spy day for niggas, for guys. You know what I mean? And you just hook us
I
up.
I actually think
but
this is a
want you
really
to feel like
cute
you're
idea.
Working. I don't want you to feel like you're working though.
No, it's research purposes.
Okay. But see, I just want you to just let go.
No, yeah. I mean, like I said, it's not like
season?
I don't. Am I drinking this season wine?
I'll get you
we
some.
Get you wine wasted.
Yeah, drinking wine.
We'll get you
pull
wine.
A little shot of some
no
bourbon
problem.
In there.
My Pinot Noir.
Some cheap Mid-sized shit like car. Carlos Rossi or something. Like, so it feel like
Chateau
a house party.
Diana.
Ramona wine. Ramona Singer.
Oh, my God. Wait, Ramona from Housewives
yeah,
of New York?
Yeah, with the big-ass yep. eyes, booking
oh
her
God.
Eyes, coming down the runway
go
looking crazy.
Go to the
crazy.
Skinny Girl Winery.
That's so crazy.
Bethany
yeah,
looked
I'm
like
down.
A wine bottle.
She looked like a sour-ass grape.
Bethany, dude, she looked like an old wine bottle.
You know, the bottom of them barrels that they didn't yeah. step on grapes and shit.
Like,
that's
I love
Bethany
Lucy.
Be looking like.
I'm definitely down. That'll be
so
fun.
So perfect. So that's what we want to do.
It's
just
a date.
We just plan it. And we, oh, that's going to be so fun, y'all. Oh, my God. Okay, so.
I'm going to get drunk first. I'm going to get drunk first.
The excitement.
Higher.
I'm going to get drunk first.
Higher.
I'm going to get
like a Kirk
drunk
Franklin
first.
Song. And what are we going to get? We're going to get. Oh, that's the gospel Ooh, moment for this see? Week.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh,
Mr. Choir Director.
If y'all,
what's the reference of the week?
Don't
Someone
you.
Ask the
no,
question.
Before you. Oh, hold on.
Why what? Drink E and J?
No, I was about to be on board with you.
Cause I'm out of Tangeray. You don't remember that from Comic View.
Speaking of Comic View, did you notice Samore and Nia Long were related?
Yeah, they sisters.
I didn't know that.
They're
I
sisters.
I didn't give a fuck if they was real sisters. Yeah, yeah they sisters.
Like, wow.
They're sisters, yo.
I just
and look,
learned
you
that.
See
look,
it. You see, can see it, can't you?
Can you can see it, right? Oh, you can't?
Just look at the physical.
The haircut.
They the eyes kind of, like, it's because, you know.
About it. And I do not mean that in, I just don't see it.
Oh, so, you know, speaking of haircut.
They should be looking like Bruce Lee cut. Like, who's like on them spikes and shit all that?
Look, oh, to round us back to where we were with Soul Food, before you know Soul Food, the series, you know the chick. From Sofa with the short hair, because we talking about short hair. You know she was on YouTube. She's like a YouTube person.
Melinda?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen it. She has a channel on
yep.
teaching you how to
she
keep short hair
spot.
Cute. Yeah, she's dope. A lot of people on YouTube now, though. Karrueche has a channel, too, now.
Okay, well, now we don't have to talk
what
about
what they do
that
on
no
Karrueche channel.
No, it's a beauty channel.
Well, she's beautiful.
She
that makes beautiful.
Oh, she's so cute. Yeah. And she her tutorial, she's teaching you how to, like, put on lipstick and eyelashes and things like that. Just like beauty guru stuff.
That's cute for her. I
yeah,
like that.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, they should air that in like Claire's Around the World or some shit.
Around the world.
It's, I mean, that sounds so basic. She's just putting on eyelashes and lipstick.
I mean, it's
like,
beauty guru stuff, though. You know, that's what
girls
people,
will eat that
yeah,
up, though.
Yeah, girls like to look for tips, you know.
I'm just assuming
stuff.
All that stuff's been done. Like, you know, Karrueche should be out here be like, you know, what lashes is going to get you the fine light-skinned niggas that be crazy out here in the streets or some shit. Like, she got
right.
to dress
like
it up
like, she needs
somehow.
Any more of that.
Yeah, for real. Does she have Christina Milian come on there and do stuff with her like she did on
Not
the album?
Yet.
Because don't nobody want to look like started. Christina Milian.
Unless she was in the Dip It Low video.
She always looks sad to me.
What?
She does. Like, even when you see her partying and shit, it's just like a sadness I get from her.
Who, Christina Milian?
Christina Milian. It's like every time she's like bubbly and goofy.
We should invite her to the show.
Yeah, she need it.
And see if she wants to talk
she
to us
about
She
damn sure need it. Talking about being rolled like dice. But she... it's jokes, people. But she...
You ain't shit. You ain't absolutely... Shit. You
At least
absolutely.
I don't stink.
You are. Get downstairs.
By the way, so we have to shout out Miss New York. Like you know New York from Flavor of Love.
Yeah, who doesn't know New York? That's when I was heavy into all the TV.
See, you got some background.
Watching her get
spit
on.
You done some of the coursework now,
right? Yeah.
Give us your testimony. What's your favorite New York moment?
When she gave someone a razor, I think. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
She was
delicious.
Like, here's the razor you've been looking for.
Oh, so you was down for a minute.
No, but.
She left a woman a razor on.
It's just because.
Shave your mustache.
My best friend's obsessed with her. So he has all these quotables that he just hits me with. And he'll be like, here's that razor you were looking for.
That's
it. Like, you jerk.
My favorite New York quote was when she quotable. Was like. She's like, shut your mouth and read that damn magazine, girl. So me and my friends, damn, this is so embarrassing. me and my friends used to like take that. When we would be drunk, we would take that and just apply it to whatever situation we were in. And so I'll never forget one time we were coming home from a club, blasted, and we had the windows down flying. And my friend Terrence, what's up, Terrence? Terrence, we were driving past the Detroit police arresting somebody, and we called the police Maggie in Detroit. And so we were driving past the police, and somebody pulled over, and I was like, damn, there go Maggie, y'all. And my friend Terrence leaned out the window as we were driving past, like, shut your mouth and arrest them damn people, girl. And the police, like, flashed it.
Oh, hell no. Y'all crazy.
It was the stupidest story in the world, but it's one of those moments where if you were there, you would know why it's so funny to me, like, right now. So shout out to New York. So it's
as
personal for me.
As long as Maggie ain't pull y'all asses over.
Right.
They'd be like, what
right.
was you saying?
Maggie just sound like an old evil bitch. I ain't never met nobody cool named Maggie. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. Do you remember Maggie getting cursed out? Because we're on reality TV. When Maggie got cursed out on Sweet 16. Do you want me to do this again, Maggie? In front of all these people again? The little fat light-skinned girl.
Maggie?
She,
oh,
my God.
That.
Oh, my God. I'm about to map you
like
out.
Black people on there.
This
like
was, it was the little black, oh, like when Tiana Taylor
yeah,
and
like,
CeeLo's
I watched
daughter
those
and all that. This, well, you're going to remember this because this little black girl or mixed girl, she was like a little, you know, you ever seen a Willy Wonka when she
when
the
she turned into
she
the grape?
Yep.
So she was portly. Just say it.
She was portly. So this
portly
young
what
mixed
a word.
Lady. I'm using that. That's going in the
that's awful.
That's going in the repertoire. Okay.
Yep.
You have to use that on the game, like on his show. Anyway, this girl, my super sweet 16, didn't invite this girl to her party, and so she ran up to her and was like, "How did you get an invitation to my party? Because I didn't give you one. Do I have to curse you out again, Maggie? Again in front of all these people again? Like
just humiliating her,
killing her." And I'm like, "These are little ass kids out here.
Why
with
was
cameras.
She so evil?"
People,
just a spoiled
money.
Little badass yep. girl need her ass whooped.
Her portly ass whooped.
Yeah. Two belts tied together.
Two
we tied
belts.
Together.
Look, dun, here you dun, go. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. The OJs cried together, right?
You going to start doing Chicago?
Oh, no.
You going to do a Stylistics? No, I'm just trying to figure out what track you going to stay on.
None.
People going.
Speaking of staying on track, welcome to the friend zone. That was fun, you guys.
Did you say welcome to the friend
yeah,
zone?
Yeah,
because
now we're really
going
to get started.
they just had to get that out the way.
We're just going to get started now.
Yeah,
that
we've literally been fucking with y'all for all of this time. We just kind of wanted to start doing some bullshit. I had some shit in my eye, so I really was just so glad not to have a structure. But we are going to take a quick break so we can do a good little reset and bring y'all some shit. So... Friend, do you want to lead us out with a little song and prayer?
Not really.
Okay. Well, we're going to be back.
All right, you guys. So here's the secret. Everybody always wants to touch my head because I have a bald head. I shave it. I get so many comments about my head and what do I do? What do I shave with? Blah, 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 blah. And all they want to run their fingers across my head. which I love, but it also puts this pressure on me, like we were talking about today, to keep my shit together when it comes to my hair being bald. The way that I do it, and this is no bullshit, this is really what I've been using, is from Bevel. Bevel is the dopest shaving system that I've ever seen. It's created specifically for coarse and curly hair, and it's the first ever to do that. Who doesn't want to get in when it's first, right? You want to be a part of the thing, like, get it now. I love my Bevel razor. You know, I don't have to look for an outdated box, you know, with a guy with a damn jerry curl or a high top on it or anything like that. I can actually use something that is designed from the ground up to give me a smooth and bump-free shave. So this week, we really wanted to offer this to you guys, our listeners. You know, you can go ahead and check out getbevel.com. Please do that today, not yesterday, not no time, but the present. And when you're there, make sure you use code FRIENDZONE to get 20% off your first month at getbevel.com. That's GETBEVEL.com. Let's get back to the show. Welcome back to the Friend Zone, everybody. As you can see, we're having a little bit of fun today.
A little bit too much fun.
We are. We just, you know, sometimes you just need an outlet. Sometimes you just feel just full of all the wrong things, and you just can't take it anymore, and you have to release.
Friend,
you do.
Are you judging me, friend?
Hmm?
Are you judging me?
No, I...
Well, I think we just sat up here and we talked all this shit about, like, reality TV people and you don't have a TV. So, like, the way we judge them people on TV, I was like, I wonder if people, like, judge us because we judge them on TV. So it would have been, like, a good example to be like, I'm judging you because you judging them, just to see. So I
asked you. No. Like,
not at all.
But I'm tired, basically.
I feel guilty.
Haven't you had a rough week?
Absolutely.
It's only Tuesday.
And it's only
Tuesday.
Well,
it'll be Wednesday when they hear this. Yeah. But like, but I just needed to just release. And it's crazy because now that things are picking up, I'm doing different work. And my life is just taking a turn where I'm in control of almost everything that I have to do to sustain myself. And so I feel like I have to just take it so seriously and be so aware of everything involved and every part of my brand and what I'm trying to do. And sometimes I just get tired of focusing on all of those things. And sometimes right. I need to just let go, talk shit, laugh like we just did. That's just a necessary moment. So when, like, I feel like that, I can only imagine that as things pick up, you know, even more for me, or even someone with, like, a high level of fame and celebrity, like, at what point is it okay for them to just be themselves? At what point is it okay for them to just have moments where they just are human and they react to certain things and they have a perspective that's not PC or that's not, you know, spun to make everybody feel okay. Like, when is it okay to just be yourself? Or do you always have to just try to conform or adhere to a certain, like, moral code and code of behavior just because you're visible, just because you have a platform, and just because there may be people who look up to you? Are you automatically a role model because you're exposed? And is it fair to artists and celebrities for us to impose that on them, for us to demand that they always be their best? Is that even fair?
I was just saying on Twitter last week, as an artist, like, for myself, I don't want to be put in any sort of box. So it's very unfortunate that, like, as a human, like, I feel like I put people in boxes, especially, like, when I see people on TV or I listen to artists and music, I'm like, I'm putting you in this box because this is what you're supposed to do. But then it's so unfair of me to go on Twitter and be like, y'all don't need to be putting me in no box. So I'm just becoming more aware for myself, like, looking out into shit like that. Like, is that okay to judge or to kind of place things? Like, but I think it's a cool little placeholder, and we're all just trying to find familiar things. And that's where we kind of lose sight of responsibility. For me, personal responsibility, like what things I play in. So it's hard for me to feel like, even as an artist, I can be myself all the time online, because I feel like people expect certain things from me, and that's just on a small scale. So I can only imagine how, like, a fucking Britney Spears, or even, well, a Beyonce, I should say. I used to love Britney Spears, so I always make reference to her. I just wish she would come back. How they're always being asked of, you know, music, image, are you getting a divorce? Like, all this personal shit. But it's their personal shit, so they should have to have the say in who gets to see it. It's just too much sight. Like, we see too much of these artists, and we lose sight of ourselves. And I think we have to remember that we're artists and we have to be fair in that aspect. And that's what kind of fucks me up when I'm looking around. What are you thinking?
It's tricky, I think, because I see, like, how many artists have you been, like, a huge fan of, and then you follow them on Twitter? Suddenly then, you're like,
nope, not doing this no more.
Yeah, or like an actor or whatever, someone that you just really looked up to, but it was like you were able to look up to them a little bit more the less you knew about them. That's why I think artists back in the day were like kind of respected more, but now we almost have too much access. It's weird because in a way it's cool because I like Erykah Badu is like one of my favorite creators. Yes. I just think everything about her is so cool. Yes. And I love to be able to follow her on Snapchat where she's like showing you her garden and while she's cooking her greens, and I think it's cool. Like, I'm like, dude, I'm like in Erykah Badu's house right now, like watching her, you know. Like, it's technology's awesome in that sense because you do feel like you can get a more personal view of the people that you admire, but at the same time, I can see how it's completely destructive just when artists just go off on these rants because they're human, they have their bad days. And even just like us on a smaller scale, it's been interesting trying to find that balance too, because you have your days where you want to say something crazy or you want to tweet something, whether it's political or personal, and you kind of have to stop yourself. I've had days where I've stopped myself because I'm just like, this has nothing to do with a friend. Hey, this is Francesca feeling this. And then sometimes I do feel that there has to be a separation. Some days I don't. Some days I'll tweet whatever. And then other days I'm like, nah, I can't. You know, but it is a constant sort of war of like how much of yourself should be out there if you are this brand, you know?
I think that as a person that is an entertainer of some sort, right? I think that you have to maintain an appeal.
Right.
There has to be something about you that people want and desire. And for me, a lot of the appeal goes away when I feel like I know too much.
Right.
I'm a person who loves the chase, even in like my dating life. You know what I mean? Like, I like to get to know you. And then once I know you, it's like boom, boom, boom.
What I mean?
Like, yeah, it's not fun for me or exciting. I like excitement and being on the edge and like thrills and stuff, right? And so anyway, that has nothing to do with my fucking point. But what I'm saying is celebrities have to maintain, like, they have to be elusive, they have to be mysterious, they have some mystique in order for us to be interested. If you think back and reflect on all of the people who have been like mega pop stars or like
you
huge
didn't know
entertainers.
Anything.
Michael Jackson, one of the people who really defined celebrity for me because everything he did seemed original, left of center, you know what I mean? And just something that was unique and that you may not have thought to do first.
Right.
And us not knowing him living on a compound called Neverland Ranch and all this mysterious shit until it really got, you know, kind of crazy in the tabloids with the accusations against him and all of that. But back in his glory days, when Michael Jackson was Michael Jackson, all we knew was what he gave us.
Right.
All we knew was his work and what he looked like in pictures and videos. Look at Madonna, same thing. You ever really knew you knew dating rumors, but you were more focused on what she was going to wear next that was crazy, whatever. Those people maintained a sense of just, they were away. There was some distance. Mm-hmm. And today, not many people do that.
Nope.
Especially in an era where social media is this mega popular part of our culture that people feel is almost a moral code or something, that a law of the land, you know, like you have to tweet, you have to give this part of yourself, you have to tell this. I think the people that have been most successful have stayed away from that.
Right.
Look at Beyonce, who doesn't even tweet and has millions of followers.
Right.
Whose only communication to us right now has been pictures of her.
Right.
That's
her
it.
Instagram.
Pictures of her and her work.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And we're fascinated and we want to know what she's doing next and we're chasing her. Look at people like Kanye West. When he has an opportunity, the only time that we get pissed at him is when we're pissed at him for something that he has said to us and given to us to be pissed off about in a rant or what have you. But he still maintains some exclusivity. There's still a part of him that we have no idea exists.
Yep.
It's like we see this political rebel and this sensationalized guy, but then we also know that he's married to the love of his life and he turns into a fucking sap, you know, publicly and does it without shame because he loves his wife and his daughter that much. That's amazing. And so we know that there's a side to him that we have no idea about. And I think that that's why we're intrigued. Lady Gaga, people like that. So they're vocal on they're vocal when necessary, and it's all intentional. And right. I think that that keeps us interested in them. Other people that have diarrhea of the mouth and the fingers and tweet and talk too Chris damn Brown. Much. You know, a lot of people that we actually like, and we get angry because we just wish that they would do their work and just offer up their talent and not, you don't have to have an opinion about everything. All we want to do is hear you sing. You right, don't have to throw shade, quote unquote, and do all of that shit. Just you're great at what you do.
So you think an artist should just have their work online?
Absolutely.
And keep their personal life totally separate.
Absolutely.
And that's private. What I'm struggling with.
Right.
Because I don't actually have like an established like aesthetic online, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're all like, you know, we all have our movie and we're all finding our characters and our players or whatever. And so for me, I haven't figured out. Why are you looking at me like that?
Just looking. Go ahead.
No, I thought you were about to say something funny. Just because I'm ratchet on Twitter. Because I'm real ratchet on Twitter, but then I have these moments where I just want to be like regular, right? And then I actually had somebody tweet me probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. This is so petty talking about Twitter. This girl tweeted me. She was like, "What happened to you being funny?" And I was just like, I want to be like, "Bitch, I'm human. Like, I don't want to be funny today."
That was such a stupid thing to tweet.
But you know what? I feel like we have these expectations of people when we follow them on
Twitter.
Stop
right there, because that's where you dropped the ball.
Yep.
We have these expectations of people on damn Twitter.
Not even, well, I mean, the whole point of following someone on Twitter is because of what they give. So,
okay.
If somebody's mostly, if they put in their thing, you know, followed by a celebrity at such and such, you automatically know they ain't going to be shit, right? So then you follow somebody because you know that they're going to be funny. That's what you want them to keep being. Like, you never say, oh, this person.
You don't follow because you know they're going to be any damn thing because it's not you tweeting it. You follow them because you saw something that they said that was funny.
But I feel like that's how the majority of people
are. And that's where they fuck up. Because you saw something that they said that was funny. You saw that. That doesn't mean that that's a pattern. That doesn't mean that that is something that happens all the time. It doesn't mean that that is what that account is about. It doesn't. It just means that that was an instance. It was something that happened. It's unfair to see somebody be funny and then you follow them because you know they're gonna be funny.
Right.
That's not fair to them. They might have a day where they don't feel like cracking a damn right. joke. And where they wanna, you know, use Twitter to have this cathartic experience or something.
Yeah.
And it's just not fair to put that pressure on people, and I hate it. And I don't understand why, like me, I think about the things that I do. When I'm in the moment, I try my best because I'm older now and I actually have slowed down and become unselfish enough to actually think about how I'm fucking, you know, treating somebody else for a change.
Right.
And so I think about the things that I do and say, and I think about the ways that they can go left now before I do them. So to have that feeling where, oh, that was funny. Let me follow them because it might happen in the future. That's totally different than somebody following you because they just know you're going to be funny. And then they end up tweeting you some bullshit like that girl did.
Someone actually tweeted me something like that once, too. I feel like I told you guys one day where, because I didn't want to just be doing DIY recipes and just beauty skin. You know, after a while, it's like we're complex creatures. There's yes. more right. to discuss.
Right.
More to explore.
Things change
so,
every day.
Yeah,
you know?
So that's how I sort of felt at this point in my life. I felt compelled to dig a little bit deeper. That's when I started talking more about mental hygiene, spirituality, and things like that. And this girl tweeted me, "Stick to the lakes and the rivers that you're used to." I was like, wow.
Girl.
I was just like, I didn't even have anything to say back because it's just so childish, you know, like you're telling someone who is trying to expand not only for themselves, but for their community. And it's not like I'm expanding in a childish way. I'm expanding in a way that could potentially be helpful for all of us to just discuss things that I felt weren't at the forefront of
Absolutely.
The internet. I mean, you have pop culture, beauty all day. That's all people talk about. So
yep.
if someone wants to take conversation somewhere else, for you to stunt them by sending them that kind of energy is just always like, I guess we shouldn't be shocked, but at the same time it's like, oh, come on, like, don't do that to your peers, you know. Let people
right.
grow, let people flourish, and if you don't align with their talk or conversation anymore, then find the next person to make you laugh. There's plenty
there's plenty
speaking of that, and this is totally on topic, I responded to one of the comments on our SoundCloud page, you guys.
Oh, really? What happened?
I made the mistake. I've always felt like, and I have a YouTube channel, you know, I've had other things online where people had the opportunity to offer comments.
Mm-hmm.
And I never read the comments. I always felt like it was almost like an intrusion. I felt like as the person who created the work, it wasn't a place for me to comment. It was for the people that viewed it.
That's
and I felt like it really was like none of my business, so I never read the comments.
That's a cool way of looking at it. Never thought of it that way.
But I don't know what the hell happened to me. It's like you get older and dumber when it comes to certain stuff. But I'm really proud of this show. I'm really proud of the work that we do and the connection that we have with people. I wanted to make sure it was connecting.
Mm-hmm.
So I started reading the comments.
Uh-oh.
Fran, I told you I wasn't going to do it.
I'm surprised, yeah.
But so I read this comment, and the young lady, you know, she left a comment, and she said, this shit is boring. Okay? So already she's called our work
shit
and the preparation that we've done and the good intention that we have to really help ourselves and help people in the process.
Right.
She called all of that this shit, okay? This shit is boring.
Right.
I want to hear pop culture mess. And Dustin reading somebody.
Oh boy. Lord.
Look. She said all of that.
Look. And then close it with, hurry up and change this shit.
Another shit.
That's what she said to us, y'all, about this.
And
about
it struck
what,
a
about
chord.
All this work we've been doing.
And what did you say?
I told her, I said, oh, okay. I said, well, since you want to hear Dustin reading somebody,
oh,
here you go.
No, Dustin,
you can go. This show is for people that want to think, people that want to be better, and people that want to listen. It's not for simple, slow, stupid-ass people like you.
You did
okay?
this from your account, right?
Right.
Okay. I did this from Dustin Ross said, so that you know. I said, go on somewhere else where they do that, because that's not this show.
Mm.
I said, you will not be missed. We didn't even know your ass was here in the first place.
Oh my God, Dustin. Did she respond to you?
I don't know, because I'm not going back, because I like that experience and me having to check her.
Right.
On me typing some. Y'all know how I feel about people that argue online anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's like the lamest shit ever, especially for dudes. So I was really embarrassed that I had even done that.
Right.
But it was up there, so I didn't want to like delete it. You know, that's even more weak. Like I did it, so whatever. Fuck
right.
it.
That's just the space you're
yeah,
in.
And I don't like that. But it was so disrespectful of, to me, what I base like my life and my existence on. Like right now, at this point in my life, I'm really trying to be my best at everything that is Dustin.
Yeah.
My relationships with people. My work, all of that. And you called what we're doing.
Yeah, but you know what? This is something that I've had to learn, because I did jump on YouTube and didn't take the route most taken, which is, you know, discussing makeup and beauty. And there's totally nothing wrong with that route. But it wasn't my life. So me coming on there and talking about, you know, freaking smoothies and oil cleansing methods and activated charcoal and all these sort of different concepts of beauty and health, like more so from a natural perspective and health, it wasn't something that I knew it wasn't going to be like well received, because most people just want quick fixes, they want fun, they, you know, and
yep.
Not everyone's going to be where you're at. And I had to really understand that. You know, I came online from a standpoint of someone who had been sick with a chronic illness, you know, so my perspective came from a whole different space. You know, it wasn't just about
right.
me trying to be online being cute or, you know, trying to get free weave or whatever it is that people get on YouTube for. People have their different intentions, and none of that was mine. My intention was purely, you know, these are the recipes that saved my life. If people feel like they need it, if they feel like, you know, there are people that don't have medical insurance. That's who I was making videos for, because I didn't have I didn't have medical insurance. So for me, it was a whole different space, a whole different mindset. And I knew that it wasn't going to be felt by everyone. And it wasn't, you know. I have days where people be like, can't you just do another wash and go tutorial? Just like, you've seen 10 of them already, you know. But some people just want what they want. And it took me a while, you know, as an online person that doesn't put out conventional information all day or pop culture, that not everyone's going to be ready for you. And that's totally fine.
And I think,
and even with this show, I knew coming on with you guys that people were going to assume the heavier topics we've chosen to focus on real life, people were going to assume it was me changing the tone of this because they didn't see that side of you guys. And and I knew I was going to have a lot of the backlash of people being like, oh, it's because of Fran.
And I think
but the thing is, it's not.
I don't think it's because of you, but I think that you do bring that, for me, just so people know, you bring that confidence because of what you did. Like how you had you have your lane just because you wanted to do what the fuck you wanted to do. Like,
right.
You didn't say, oh, I want to get on YouTube and make these videos so I can get, you know, a waist trainer or some shit.
Right.
You said, I'm going through some shit and I want to share my knowledge. And I thought that that was dope as fuck.
Yeah.
So the fact that we can sit up here and, you know, talk to each other about bullshit like reality TV and have a good ass time, all the way to talking about friendship dynamics and, you know, how to be better people. It's just, it's such a weight. It just, what? Are you still mad?
This to me is just a prime example of the problem with people being overexposed. Why does it matter where the tone of this podcast came from?
It doesn't even.
Here's what I'm saying. They say to you, oh, it must have been Fran that changed the tone.
Mm-hmm.
The tone is what it is. This is the show that we
made.
Because
it's what comes out of us, yeah.
This is the show that we made, and this is what we're presenting to you. It's none of your business where it was developed from, unless we want to put together a project telling you that, and we put that out.
Right.
Otherwise, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Why do you even care?
Well,
why is it important to you to know that?
Well,
and that, I feel, is from people having too much access to people's business. Because you've gotten that from other people and you've been able to satisfy your curiosities, you now expect it from every artist or from everyone that presents something. That's unfair. It doesn't matter where this came from unless we want to share it.
Right.
This is what we're giving. That's just natural human curiosity, though, sometimes. Like, if you can get that information, like that background, it makes you just want it. It makes you appreciate things more. Like, you know, before we were talking about.
I ain't nosy.
No, listen. Before we were talking about Tinashe, right?
Yeah.
And how her music is the shit to me.
Yeah.
And I said that I like her even more after watching these videos on her. Like, I didn't go saying, oh, let me see if she's a cool person before I, like, listen to her music. Like, I had already latched on her music. I came across these videos of her just being regular. Like, she's kind of awkward.
Who put them out?
They're on her YouTube channel.
Exactly.
And so it's just these videos of her. Like, they're professionally done, you know, to talk about her craft, her art. But it's still her awkwardly just being regular. She didn't say, okay, well, I need to make sure that this, that, and the third is done and I look a certain way before I present this to people. So it's like, I look at this podcast and it's like, we presented it to people, and the people that latch on have latched on and are continuing to latch on, and there are those people that, you know, still probably need something else to latch on, not because of just this podcast, but you see things and you're like, okay, like, this is kind of cool, this is interesting, but there might maybe that one little morsel that really just, like, pulls you in. So I think sometimes as people, we just get caught up in our own curiosities, and when we just ask for more, we don't realize sometimes that inch is actually a mile. And that's why it's unfortunate online we start to pass judgment on people and shit like that.
It's an intrusion.
It is an intrusion. And it's because we're met with Periscope and Snapchat and all this shit. There are all these outlets with all this information out, right? And I'm an attention whore that just likes to, not for myself, but I just like to look at visuals and make visuals and shit like that. So that's why I always Snapchat bullshit. I always get on Periscope. But there are people that want to always put themselves out there, and that makes people that don't have anything for themselves going. That sounds so bad. Never mind. That was a terrible lead.
I get what you're saying, though. It's interesting. It's fascinating.
Right?
Almost.
Like sometimes you get caught up in other people's shit. You don't step back. Like, that person that called our show shit, you know, they should have probably stepped back to say, well, like, for me, on the first episode, I had to step back and say, like, well, this is where my wall is, and like, acknowledge that. So for them to listen to this show and just be like, oh, this is shit. Like, they're just at a place in their life where they may not be able to take it yet. Like,
yeah, and I totally get that, because you got to think about what we've been discussing.
Yeah.
We're discussing family matters. Like, this is pretty heavy, intense stuff. And think about when you were in college, or even before that, maybe high school or wherever, you know, different age ranges are listening to us. Not everybody's going to sit there wanting to listen to people discuss their relationship with their parents. Like, not everyone is there. But one thing I think is cool is that we have taken this position where it's like, well, this is what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about everyday life. And when you're ready to talk about it with us, we're going to be here every Wednesday.
Absolutely.
You know, and I totally get it that you may want to be at work and you want to laugh. Maybe you don't want to listen to heavy stuff. And I totally get it. But it can be two things. It can be that you just don't want to face reality because this is just how you have felt comfortable escaping, you know, through other people's work. And I totally get that. And when you're ready to sit with us and maybe have those moments where you do want to confront, you know, family dynamics and other things, then you know the show that's doing that for you. So I feel like that's what the internet is. You just got to find your way when you connect to it.
Damn, you're good.
Okay, you rounded that out.
You're good, friend. You're good, man.
That's the only way that I can not take it personal.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, because the reality is you're never going to make something that 100% of the world is going to enjoy.
Absolutely. People are always going to have something to say.
There are 10 people.
Always.
There are 10 people that will hate it, 10 people that will love it, and 10 people that don't even care or know who you are. And as long as you are cool with those 30, you just work and do what you want. Because it makes no difference.
Bitch, you need a book of Proverbs.
The book of friends.
Okay. I'm serious. Once I got that in my head, now, like, creating, you know, I'm not going to lie and say, like, oh, I don't feel anything when people leave mean comments. We're human. You're going to feel it. But the sting just doesn't last as long.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, now I read it, and then I'm like, okay, I'm sorry you feel that way. But I now I'm able to kind of understand where people are coming from with their comments. Like, I can read them. I'm like, I know exactly where you are in your life because of how you wrote that.
And I leave it at that. I can't wait to be like that.
Me either, because I'll be wanting to cuss their ass out.
Can you also tell who's fine from the comments? Like, is there a way that I can be like, oh, this person's fine, the way that they just, like, did that comment?
Cut it out.
Can you teach me that?
I don't look for fine men on the internet.
Well, I think if you come across some, can you send them my way?
So... What? Like, don't be getting me in trouble in the podcast. So where? So
yes. So, and we feel like, you know, well, at least me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like it's unfair. I don't know. I mind my own business. I'm from Michigan. It's just a certain social code, you know, that we adhere to.
Yeah.
I mind my own damn business, and so some stuff I just feel like it's not my business. Period. Like, and I don't feel like anybody is obligated to tell me any damn thing.
Right.
I don't feel like I'm obligated to know about anybody's home life. I don't think that I'm like, I want to know why you did it this way. Like, no, that's your art. That's so dope. And now I understand that because I'm an artist. I understand what it's like to put something together and have it rooted, you know, in legitimacy or whatever its intention is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the focus. That's why I appreciate people that don't talk. I appreciate artists. I think it's the coolest thing in the world that Beyonce is refusing to do interviews. And she's only doing
Really?
Yeah. She's only doing like spreads. She's not doing interviews
That's
whatsoever.
So fascinating.
That Vogue magazine, the cover.
There's no interview.
None. And I think it's the dopest thing in the world because all you get from her is her art. That's it.
See, that to me is so fascinating though, because it really is a battle. Because I know that, like, when I create things, there's a part of me that still wants to engage and relate and connect to mm-hmm. the people I'm creating it for, you know?
Yeah.
But then the internet is really harsh. So sometimes to protect your magic, shout out to Fadia Kader, to protect your magic, you have to put the boundaries in place that will allow you to create without the noise. You know, and people outside that might distract you or maybe even make you feel like you're not as good. You know, whatever it is that people do to each other, I don't understand why. So I get it. I get why she probably feels this need to keep a distance because it's like she has her life. She has her baby, her husband, her creations. That's her focus. Anything outside of that, it's like probably doesn't even exist. You know, but then you still want to be... Then I see people like Rihanna, who's like playful. She'll clap back on people on the Twitter. It makes her her. And it's funny. And I love that she's so silly. And if
it's
someone.
Endearing.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and if someone, there's a rumor, she's the first one to put up something on Instagram. She feels like us.
Yeah.
And that's cool too. So it's almost like, I don't know which one's the cooler one.
Right.
Is it the one that you don't know what she's thinking or what she's doing, or the one that makes you feel like she's your homie?
There's something, there's still. there's still an element of mystery when it comes to Rihanna, because it is still calculated when she does offer something up, right? Mm-hmm. When she does reply to somebody or whatever, it's still by design, so it still feels cool and fresh to us, right? There's a difference between her and, I really don't want to say any names, I really don't, but there's a difference between her and other singers who have felt the need to have an opinion about
everything
and everybody, and it ends up, you essentially, it's the classic putting your foot in your mouth.
Right.
Classic. Like, you continuously do that. So, yeah, I respect people who respect their art enough to just make their whole experience about that.
Right. Yeah, that's a tricky one. That's interesting dynamic, though. But I think the wellness segment this week, just because of this conversation, I think instead of giving a tip, I'm just curious to hear from you guys, like, you know, wherever it is that you work, whatever it is that you create, whether you're an artist or whether you have a 9-to-5, whatever your dynamic is, do you ever feel this pressure to keep, you know, who you are out of it in a way? And if you do, how do you do that? You guys are going to give us wellness tips, actually. I think that'd probably be the cool way.
Right?
I'm so curious to hear, like, and even aside from maybe your personal career, but even as a consumer of creators' work, what do you like from your artists and the people you follow in podcasts and YouTubers? Do you prefer that they keep their private life separate? You don't want to see the subtweets coming from their accounts or when they're having bad days or, you know, clapping back at people. Do you think it's cooler that way? Or do you think, you know, them just being who they are and writing what they feel and clapping back at y'all when y'all are mean?
Let us know.
Yeah, I'm so curious to hear. Just a way for us to connect and kind of have a better understanding of what people are feeling. Cause I just think it's such a fascinating dynamic. Like, I really don't know which one is the best route.
And that I will read.
And if you're,
I will read those emails.
For the super ratchet out there, tweet us if you had ever been blocked by a celebrity, and if so, who?
Oh Lord.
Now that's going to be hilarious.
Right.
Just to see what people said if you would get blocked.
But you know what, though? At the end of the day, I think the best thing to do is just do what you want and be yourself online. Because that, to me, just takes away the pressure. Like, I'll just say what I want to say. If I want to delete it, I'll delete it.
I agree.
You know, because then after a while, you're just overthinking and it doesn't make sense either.
Yeah.
You know, if you feel privacy works, then be private. For me, it's a little bit of both. I'm private in the sense that I don't post boyfriends and stuff, or you never see my mom or like my friends. My like private life is private, but you know, you'll catch me having my days where I'm not feeling well, and I say it on Twitter, like I'm having a bad day or bad week or shitty whatever, and it just is what it is. Yeah. I don't feel this pressure to uphold this Martha Stewart squeaky clean image, because even Martha went to jail, you know.
That's right.
I just be trying not to get into fights in public.
That too. I don't respond to comments.
I literally be like, I'm aware, whereas before I didn't care.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, okay, Dustin, you can't be out. Like, you have something to lose now.
Right.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Like, no, I don't even respond to mean comments when they come my way, or someone sends me a link or anything. I don't say anything, because it's just not the world that I live in. I'm here to create. I'm here to make people feel good. I'm here to feel good. Anything outside of that doesn't really go on my radar.
I know that's right.
Come on.
It's the only way to stay up there. That's where I want to be.
If I don't know you, I don't really acknowledge you. So,
speaking of acknowledgement,
being negative.
Right. What's our inbox looking like this week?
Ooh,
and
yeah,
asking for a friend?
So the inbox is looking crazy just because there are so many emails. I'm not going to respond to most of these emails, but just know that I read each and every one. Like, y'all be going through it, and
you
I be
say
right
that
there
shit
with
every
y'all.
Week too. So whatever they say to you,
I'm telling you, I don't even like tell y'all about the stuff, just because some of it can be really deep, and I want to go through as many of these as I can. But just know that I am reading these letters, and that y'all are not alone, because we're all going through some shit.
Yeah, we are.
And we all are trying to do our best to make the best decisions we can, and everything's gonna be a learning and growing process. So you know, if we don't get a chance to respond to you, just know that however you make your decision, it's gonna play out the way it's supposed to. Hi, friends. What do you all think about dating someone who has different beliefs than you? Do you think it's something set up for failure? Do you think it can honestly work out in the long run? I've been dating a great guy who happens to be Muslim. He and I have talked about the topic and we're pretty much okay with the fact that we have our different beliefs and we have a mutual understanding about it. I respect what he believes and he respects what I believe. But I was raised by my old school grandma in a strict Christian home. I was brought up to marry a good Christian man. How should I go about telling her I've been dating a Muslim man without her calling the pastor for an intervention and laying hands on me?
Oh, wow.
You know, Christian families don't play about that stuff like that.
Well, first of all, marry who you want. Cut it out with worrying about your family. That's just going to send you down a long, lonely road while they end up with their messed up lives in secret. I don't play that. I'm sorry. People have so much talk about what you should be doing, who you should be with, and meanwhile, their lives are a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So, no. If you're happy, he makes you happy, you guys connect, that's all that matters. Your grandma's be fine. She ain't losing sleep.
It's so refreshing. It's so refreshing to hear you say it that way and put it so simply.
Yeah.
Because it's such a complex space, you know, to be in.
Yeah.
And what you just offered is like such a clear perspective, and it just makes it click for people. And it's a lot of people that are really going to get what you just said.
Yeah, and I get that from a personal experience because my grandmother and grandfather had so much talk with all of us about what we were doing. Don't date someone dark-skinned. He's too light, and she's too fat, and she don't have a job, and she didn't go to... It was like all these things, and then meanwhile, their relationship was like a disaster. We'd see
it's
them
like...
like
y'all even holding the ship together.
Right, like y'all are a mess. You know, you barely like each other, and my grandmother's like a slave bringing food to you all day. Like, don't... I learned that very early. Like, people have a lot to say about things that they don't even... they're not even accountable for in their own lives, you know? Sure. And a lot of the times they want to put that on you because they are so sad about their own lives.
You know where it gets tricky? It gets tricky when religion is involved.
Right.
Because then it gives people license to then blame their own insecurities and their own feelings and fears on their faith.
Right.
They tell you, well, because I don't agree with that shit, then you are now cut off. We won't be speaking. You're out of my life because morally it's wrong, and they put it on God.
Yeah.
And that gives people the biggest guilty feeling in the world when you feel like you are just completely going against everything that you know or taught, and you're no longer acceptable to your family.
Right.
I think a lot of times that's rooted in fear.
Yeah.
But I think that it's easiest a scapegoat for people to just blame it on faith and morals. It's morally
and to
wrong.
Manipulate each other based on faith, which I think is really unfair. Because anyone that is really, really deeply rooted in faith knows that it's about love and respecting people. That's the only thing that faith is truly about, you know. So anything outside of that is their own creation and interpretation of faith.
So I've learned Bibles and
stuff. I've learned not to even let that pressure get to me. The only advice I will say is if you're living under your parents' household where they're paying bills, that gets a little tricky because now
you gotta chill out
because it's a little different. You can't be really disrespecting when you're not fully taking care of yourself. But once you're out, or let that be, you know, the thing that pushes you out.
And
that's what I would say.
As a black gay man, I always wondered, like, if I would even get married. And then now that, like, you can get married anywhere, I think to myself, am I going to be caught in a situation now? Like, after reading this email, like, I never thought that I would, you know, be able to get married, let alone if I meet somebody with a different religion than me. But I've always just said in my heart, like, if this isn't the person that I'm supposed to be with, then I don't think anything should be able to stop that. So that's kind of how I view that. I don't even think religion.
Yeah, my best friend married a Muslim man, and she's Christian, but she's not really, not anymore. She was raised Christian, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's sort of just finding her way and kind of studying different things, seeing what clicks. You know, she's like travels the world. She's just trying to feel things out. Very eat, pray, love. And he's Muslim
like
and he's practicing Muslim and they get along really well. They just meet each other halfway, you know, as long as they respect each other and they have a baby and it's like, it's cool. I don't think they have very many issues. The only things maybe like dietary things, you know, at family functions because he's not going to be drinking and eating pork and, you know, like, but they respect it. Everything is about boundaries and just respecting what works, you know, for your partner. And I've seen it be successful. you know, I've definitely seen it be successful. But it is tough, I know, when family's involved because they have so much to say.
Yeah, especially, you know, it's your family. You grew up with them. Yeah. You know, they raised you. They put you out into the world. So everything
you don't
want to
lose them over something like that.
Absolutely. Especially when it's something as deep as marriage. You know, you're trying to bring families together. You're not trying to rip anybody apart.
Yeah.
So I can see how that can be complex.
Follow your heart. But that's my hippie dippy advice.
Love is love. Love is going to be love. And so you got to magnify it with love.
Oh, Lord.
You're an idiot, man. You're a fucking idiot, man.
I think that was a great one question to wrap. Do you guys want to do one more question?
We should do one more.
Here's one. To move back home or nah?
Or nah.
I can answer that right now.
I'm a 20.
Off the title alone.
And put that in there, too.
Come on.
Don't cut that out. I can answer that right now. Or nah.
Look, hold on. I'm a 27-year-old black woman who moved to New York City.
27-year-old black woman? Hell no. Nah. Like, there is no way. Let me just see what they got to say first. If at all possible, no.
Anyway, I'm a 27-year-old black woman who moved to New York City from Buffalo, New York, 3 years ago to work on Wall Street. I love New York, but I think that there was such a disconnect between what I thought my life would be and what my life actually is.
Welcome to reality.
That's real.
Man, oh, man. I typically work 90 hours each week, but still find myself flat broke and living hand to mouth, even though I make great money and barely spend it on anything except rent, bills, and student loans.
That'll do it.
I recently got my own place, and after my last roommate stole my credit cards and some scam ring, and I'm paying this exorbitant rent to live pretty much in a crack house.
Wow.
Every day I wonder if it's worth it to stay here. Living here is causing me a great deal of stress and anxiety, although I'm finding that a great deal of people I meet are in similar situations, no matter their income, and they seem to deal just fine. How do you know that you're fit to live in New York City? Do I just not have what it takes? It doesn't seem sustainable to me. But whenever I try to talk to my friends about it, basically retort, that's New York. You work or you starve.
Wow, I can feel her on that one. Well, you're stressed. That should answer your question. You know, if you are not happy and you are even debating whether you should be here, I think that's usually a clear sign that this isn't where you want to be. You know, I'm from New York. It is a struggle living here. Rent is expensive. And like you said, I mean, I wouldn't say my apartment's a crack house, but it's not. For the rent that I pay, you would think, you know, that it would be a little more spacious, you know, like it would be if it was Atlanta.
It's beautiful, though.
Thank you. You know, I try my best, and it is hard. It's very hard to maintain it, especially as a creative, you know, rent, college loans, just, you know, bills. It's a lot, but it sounds like you aren't happy, though. I mean, I feel like that's a clear sign.
What I got from it, everything that you expressed the most concern about was circumstantial. It didn't have to do with the city that you were living in. You were stressed about trying to make ends meet. You were stressed about, you know, just living. You're gonna do that anywhere that you are, unless you'd make some changes in, like, your circumstance and make changes in your life that will make you more money. If you can go back to school, go back. If you can pick up a trade, pick up a trade. If you can find other streams of income, find them.
I try to find a different job.
Yeah.
Maybe. I know, like, that's hard too.
Well, and if also one thing I did want to get in, if you have all these friends that are in the same situation as you, and they're your friends that you're speaking with, maybe you guys could all move in together somewhere and be roommates. You know what I mean? To cut everybody's rent.
It's true, though. A friend of mine did that. It was like five people living in an apartment. It worked, though.
Well, you know, I think after actually reading this email, being in probably the same space as you, like being 27-year-old from somewhere else living in New York, I think that New York is a place that I want to be, even though I hate, you know, working these shitty fucking jobs, paying all this rent for this, you know, small ass box. But I think because you're only working on Wall Street, you haven't really done what you feel like you're called to do. And so maybe it doesn't have to be in New York, or maybe it's not in New York, or maybe it's in New York and you haven't bumped into it just yet. But I think because of, you know, the work and the stress it's all getting to, you just kind of need to sit back, reprioritize why you're here, and really figure that out. You know, are you in New York because you just wanted to work on Wall Street? And, you know, now that you're on Wall Street,
really good advice.
Now that you're on Wall Street, are you just need to be in a different position? Like, what is it that you're doing? And I think that's really going to answer your question for you. Because if you want to move back home, I think about moving back home every day. But then I also think, okay, so after I've been home, I'm going to get a job where doing what? You know, I'm going to go back to Atlanta for what? Am I going to do half the shit in Atlanta that I did in New York?
You know? People stay in New York because of there's so much opportunity. You never know who you're going to meet.
You can never know the right time,
right place, the train. Even on the train, there are people like, you just never know. And it really is a tough grind, but it's also pretty magical. So it balances out in that sense, especially if you are here on a mission to, you know, there's a specific job or career. The ability to make the right connections and network, I feel like in New York, it's just like
unmatched.
Nothing compares. Yeah, like the networking here is just so official, you know. But like Asante said, I think it's about sitting down and reprioritizing, like, what is it that you're here? Are you in New York to be in New York?
Yep.
Or are you actually in New York to get something from New York? So
I'm sick of smelling them shitty-ass horses in front of Central Park every time I walk down 57th Street.
I'm sick of being hot every fucking summer.
I'm tired of sweating my ass off every time
y'all
I
get on
the train
her
and go
with
for a ride.
I'm tired of touching people on the train that I don't want to touch because they want to stand right in front of me and put their backpack on my stomach when I'm standing where I've been standing before they got on the train.
I'm sick
That's
of old
everywhere,
shit.
Though.
I'm sick of every building I go in being old.
Well, everywhere they can get cursed out.
But
I
tell you this,
I was so bad.
Even with all of the discomfort, even with all of the shitty, stinking ass places, even with all the horrible feelings, there's absolutely nothing like living in New York City.
Nothing.
There's nothing like
being
in a place.
That's why I'm stuck here. I try to leave and I can't get out.
It's so diverse. It's so fun. And when things are going good for you, it's the best place in the world to live.
Say that.
Absolutely.
So I say keep the faith, keep going, tough it out, and make your life what you want it to be. That's the best advice I can give you.
We hope that helped you.
Absolutely. Thanks for sending your letter in.
Thank you for sitting through this crazy show that was so against every format that we have ever planned and put in place for this show.
We
However,
say fuck format.
Faith, we just wanted
faith
to have
fuck
fun.
The format.
FFF. But we wanted to have fun. We wanted to have just a release and a silly, silly show. This is not something that's going to happen every week. We just wanted to have a little fun tonight. Thank you for being a great sport friend, because I know that
man,
this was
we
not
put you
easy
through
for
it tonight.
You tonight.
We put you through it.
It was a cringeworthy experience.
My teeth were hurting when they were making fun of the reality stars. I was like, no, not her.
All right. All opinions.
She needs a hug, not to be made fun of.
These opinions are not expressed on behalf of Dustin Ross and the Suntan.
Hey, Asante.
Thank
hey,
you Asante. Guys for listening. Hey, we love you. Beautiful one.
The beautiful one. I'm not doing that. Bye, y'all.
See you next week.
Bye.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.